This morning, chapter 31 of Genesis, if you would turn there and we'll, it's a long chapter, but I think we can get through here. Remember, we're dealing with Jacob and Laban, Rachel, all his wives, all the kids, all the things that have been going on, but Jacob's heart is being turned, is being changed, and we're going to see four things in this chapter that convince him that it's time to go, that it's time to leave where he is. It says, "And he heard the words of Laban's sons, saying, Jacob hath taken away all that was our father's, and of that which was our father's hath he gotten all this glory. And Jacob beheld the countenance of Laban, and behold, it was not towards him as before." So the first thing that we see is that Laban and his sons definitely don't have a vision for Jacob being in their midst anymore. They're upset with him. He's gotten great gain while theirs is kind of dwindled, diminished. They feel like they're getting cheated. They see all the wealth he's accumulating, and they're just not excited about him being there anymore. And so their countenance, and you know how it is when people don't seem to like you as much as they used to, when they get to really know who you are, and they go, this isn't the person that I met, I don't like him as much as I used to. I know you're feeling like that towards me, but that's okay. We can go on. We'll just move on from that one. But it's not time to go yet. You haven't convinced me. Just seeing those things, just hearing those things, and just realizing that God is moving in a way. Remember, his heart's already being stirred. He's not excited about being there anymore. He's been there 20 years. He was 77 when he got there. He's been there 20 years. I'll let you do the math. He's not a spring chicken. He's ready to be moved. His heart is being changed. He's realizing the grace of the time that he's been in has run out, and it's time to move. And boy, for some of us, that's really hard, especially the older we get, because the older we get, the more set in our ways we are. And he's been doing the same thing for 20 years. And all of a sudden, God starts speaking to him about the things that he has for him, about the way that he wants him to go, and the direction that he wants him to go. And I don't hear him saying, wait a minute, Lord, I'm 97. I don't shuffle as well as I used to. I got to go hundreds of miles back to the place that you've called me to. But he doesn't say that. Instead, he just thinks about those things, and he just waits on the Lord. He seeks the Lord's face, waits for the Lord, and the Lord is going to do something miraculous in his life, just like he does with you and I. And in verse 3, we see the second thing that happens. And the Lord said unto Jacob, return to the land of your fathers and to thy kindred, and I will be with thee. I'm going to be with you as you go. The most important things is that God is speaking, and he says, I'm going to be with you. And we think, well, Lord, he went the wrong direction. Why would you even bother with him? But the Lord never left him all those 20 years. It's been almost a silence that we see in Scripture of him talking with him. Because remember, he met him when he was at Bethel, and he saw the ladder going to heaven and the angels ascending and descending upon it. And the Lord spoke to him there. But we haven't heard anything out of the Lord for him in those 20 years. God is never in a hurry. We are, but he's not. And we're in such a hurry sometimes that we can't wait for God to speak. We'll help you out, God. We'll go and you just bless my way, because I know you want me to move. I know it's time for me to go, so you just bless me. And he says, no, I'm just going to wait for you to get your heart in that place where you can listen to me without having a time restraint on what's going on. And boy, sometimes that's real hard for us, isn't it? I don't want to wait for you, Lord. I want it now. Especially America, we are instant Christians. We want instant fulfillment. We want instant gratification. We want instant food. We want instant relationships. We want everything right now. But the Lord works sometimes very slowly. But when he does, it's always a good work. Don't take for granted that God has just given up on you and just go your own direction and just leave him out of it. Seek the Lord constantly. ask, seek, and knock. He tells us in Matthew. And certainly that's the place that he wants us to be, even now, in the days that we're in. Because the days are crazy. There's crazy people out there. But you know what? There's crazy people in here. It's just that we're anointed crazy people. We're saved because of his work, not because of ours. And look at how long he waited for you as he called you by name, for you to come to him and say, I surrender, Lord. I surrender all. Whatever you want out of me, whatever you want for me, help me to surrender to you, Lord. And he waited all that time for you instead of giving up on you. What a sweet thing that is, because we have a God who loves us, a God who wants to direct us, a God who cares about us. Certainly he's talking to a man who hasn't done all the right things. Remember, this guy's got four wives now. What did he tell in Genesis, the early parts? One wife, one husband. He's already got four. He's got at least 12 kids. We don't hear much about the girls. But boy, he has gone way over the edge. He's gone to a place he shouldn't have gone to. He's doing things he shouldn't be doing. And yet in the midst of it, God is gracious, God is loving, and God is still wooing him and calling him. And for some of us, we're in the same place, aren't we? We just sit there, Lord, I'm doing the same things I used to do 10 years ago. I don't know why, Lord, but you've got to change me. If it isn't your change, I'm not going to get changed, because my heart in this natural man just keeps wanting to do what it naturally does. But he's doing a work. It may be a slow work, but he's doing a work. Don't get discouraged because you haven't changed like you think you should be by now. Because otherwise we'd all be walking around with halos on, you know, and just having our harps and just singing to each other. But God is still gracious to each and every one of us. Yeah, it just shows the long suffering that God has for us. So the first thing is that he sees the countenance of the people around him changing towards him. The Lord speaks to him, says, I'm going to be with you. And so Jacob sent and called Rachel and Leah to the field unto his flock. And he said unto them, I see that your father's countenance, that it is not towards me as before, but the God of my father has been with me. He realizes that the impression that God has made on his life, he sees the change in Laban. Remember the father of Rachel and Leah. He sees this man who's cunning, who's sly, who's a conniver just like Jacob is, and he doesn't like it. So he sees things changing in his life and changing around him. But he still doesn't move. He still hangs on. Lord, I'm not moving until you tell me to go. And boy, it's so important for us to do that, to hang on to what God has for us. I know with the news and with the laws and all the junk that's going on around us, a lot of us just want to run. We want to go to a monastery and just hide in the monastery and never come out again. We can't do that. We're here to be witnesses in the world. We're here to show God's love in this world. And boy, sometimes it's so difficult, but it's not our job. It's his job in us. Lord, it's your work. So, Lord, please just continue that good work that you've begun in me, because he's the one that's going to bring it to a completion. He's the one that's going to deliver us from ourselves and deliver us to heaven. And I don't know about you, but heaven is looking better and better all the time. New York is fine. Taxes might be a little strange, but New York is okay, but heaven is better. There's a lot of things that are beautiful in this world, but heaven is going to be better. Oh, and the first thing is that we're going to be with Jesus, the one who saved us, the one who called us, the one who's delivered us from sin. Oh, and so he's speaking here, and he sees that the countenance of the Father, the countenance of the sons, God is speaking to him. So things are moving. There's been confirmation, but he's still not going, and he's just waiting to see that final confirmation from the Lord of the things that he wants him to do. And he says to them in verse 6, and you know that with all my power I have served your father, and your father has deceived me. Notice he doesn't say I deceived everybody else all along the way. He's just looking at everybody else, right? Isn't that just like us? Your father's deceived me, and he changed my wages 10 times. But God suffered him not to hurt me. As he realizes, and this is the first time we see Jacob talking about the Lord in a long time. God has suffered him not to hurt me. What is he realizing? That Jacob had the power to hurt him all along. And yet he realizes now for the first time that, hey, God hasn't allowed him to hurt me. God hasn't allowed our neighbors to hurt us. God hasn't allowed our bosses to hurt us. All the way along, we're only here because of God's grace. We're not here because we deserve it. We're not here because we've earned it. We're here because God has been gracious to us and loves us. And that's why we're here. That's why we're still moving. That's why we're still going. It's only God's grace. And we just rejoice in that. It certainly takes us out of the way, doesn't it? It just shows us that our pride of thinking that we're something, and God goes, you're not all that. You're just something that I've created that needs salvation. And now that you've accepted that, I'm pouring my blessings out upon your life and upon who you are. You know how sweet that is when we can enter into that place of just allowing God to be God and us not trying to make him be what we want him to be. Lord, whatever your will is, whatever your way is, help me in it. In verse 8 he says, and if he said thus, the speckled shall be thy wages, then all the cattle bear speckled. And if he said thus, the ringstrake shall be thy hire, then bear all the cattle ringstrake. Then God has taken away the cattle of your father and given them to me. And it came to pass at this time that the cattle conceived, and I lifted up mine eyes and saw in a dream, and behold, the rams which leaped up upon the cattle were ringstrake and speckled and grizzled. So the Lord had showed him that these things were going to come to pass. And as he sees those things, now he's realizing it in real time. He's realizing that what God had told him in a dream, he lifted up his eyes and saw in a dream those things. And now they're coming to pass in his life. So just another confirmation for Jacob that God's involved in his life, that God's taking care of him. And it says in verse 11 that the angel of God spoke unto me in a dream, saying, Jacob. And I said, here I am. And he said, lift up now your eyes and see. And there's a difference between just lifting up your eyes and having sight. There's a spiritual sight that we need to have that can only come from a relationship with Jesus Christ. You can lift up your eyes and see a lot of things. But if you lift up your eyes and see spiritual things, you're seeing things differently than you've ever seen them before. And it's so sweet when we can lift up our eyes. Because what does it say in Scripture about who's the lifter of our head? It isn't us. He lifts us up to that place where we can see spiritual things for the first time. You're the lifter up of my head, Lord. It's you that I want to see. It's you, your ways that I want to see in my life, not my own ways. I've seen my own ways for so long, and they've just caused destruction and pain in my life. But now I'm seeing things for the first time that give me hope. And the hope that Jesus gives is an eternal hope. It's not just I hope so, it's I know so. I know that God is working. I know he can bring healing. I know he can bring wholeness to my life. Lord, you're the only one that can. So help me to keep that focus. So he's telling Jacob, lift up your eyes and see for the first time, Jacob. See for the first time in a long time the things that I have for you. You saw the ladder with the angels ascending and descending. You haven't looked since, Jacob. But lift up your eyes now and see. Your heart's ready. The time is right. I'm calling you. I'm wooing you. Lift up your eyes and see that all the rams that leap upon the cattle are ringstrake, speckled, and grizzled, for I have seen all that Laban doeth to you. I see what the world is doing to you. I see what the relationships that you have are doing to you. I see what this world has done to you and is doing. And what is the world doing to us? It's taken our kids. It's taken our hope. It's taken everything that we ever desired. Remember when you were a kid? If you can remember back that far. And just remember all the dreams you used to have about what it was going to be like when you got older. Can't wait till I'm 16 and I can take the car. I'll just drive forever. My parents will keep sending me money and everything will be wonderful. It didn't happen, did it? They took all our dreams. Now they're taking our kids. I know some of you have lost your pensions because of things that have gone wrong with the businesses you work for. We know if this world continues, if this country continues, The Social Security that we have will be no more. But who are we going to look to? We're going to look to the government to take care of us? Look at how they're taking care of you now. I'll tax you. Ah, wonderful. What are we going to look to? Lord, it's got to be you. Because if you don't provide for me, I have no provision. I've seen all that Laban does to you, and I'm going to take care of you. I am the God of Bethel. As he tells him, I see where your life is. I see what's going on in your life. I see the hurts that you have. I'm the only one that can take care of it. I am the God of Bethel. I am the one who spoke to you at Bethel when you planted your head on that rock. I'm the one that spoke to you. I'm the one that provided for you to get here. Don't you think if I provided for you to get here, I can get you home? Oh, and if I can do that, can I take care of the problems that you have in your life right now? Can I take care of the hurt that you have? I am the God of Bethel, where thou anointest the pillar, and where thou vowed a vow unto me. Now arise and get thee out from this land, and return to the land of your kindred. This is who I am, and this is my will for you, Jacob. And so Rachel and Leah, is the Lord speaks to him again. He comes and he just wants to share these things with his family of what's going on. And Rachel and Leah answered and said unto him, is there yet any portion or inheritance for us in our father's house? So he's realizing for the first time that Rachel and Leah are in agreement with what's going on in his life and they're ready to go. He waits all this time as the Lord speaks to him, as the Lord ministers to him, and now confirmation comes from the ones that are closest to him. And sometimes that's one of the greatest things. I know you know the story of how I got here, just all the things that were going on, because I was content where I was. And then God started speaking and started giving me scriptures, started ministering to my heart. And then the pastor's wife of where I was gave me a scripture that said I wasn't supposed to be there anymore. I was supposed to be here. She knew I was leaving before I did. Just like, how come you told her first? He goes, because you weren't listening. Oh, okay. But the confirmations that come, you don't have to go quick, but it's a sure walk when you're looking and seeking the truth. Because God is always going to speak truth and always going to speak in that way to draw us to that right place. And so Rachel and Leah answer him and said in verse 15, are we not counted of him as strangers? For he has sold us and has quite devoured also our money. For all the riches which God hath taken from our father, that is ours and our children's, now then whatsoever God hath said unto you, do. So the confirmation comes. It's time to go. And he puts all these things together as he hears the word, as he listens to God speak to him, maybe not audibly, but in a dream, in a vision, as he speaks to his heart. And now the confirmation comes from the ones that are closest to him. And then Jacob rose up and set his wives and his sons upon camels, and he carried away all his cattle and all his goods which he had gotten, the cattle of his getting which he had gotten in Paddan Aram, for to go to Isaac his father in the land of Canaan. He's going on. Remember, his mom is probably passed by now. As she sent him away, hoping that he would be safe from his brother, she would never see him again. So he's just going to his father, because his father's still alive. Go to this place and meet with your father. And Laban went to shear his sheep. And Rachel has stolen the images that were her father's. Oops. Love how the Holy Spirit puts that in there. Nothing escapes God's vision, does it? We think we can take things and hide them and we're okay with them. And God goes, I already saw that. I already knew you were going to do that. And yet I still have grace for you if you just come to me and confess and let me take it. She takes the images, the gods that were there. And those gods aren't just little idols that they carried around just to have something there to worship. They were really passed on from father to the eldest son, the patriarch of the family. They were important to them. They were the religious priesthood, as it were, that was being passed on from father to eldest son. So what she's done is she's taken the priesthood away from the family. Whoops. And women, you just didn't do that in those days. It just wasn't the thing that you did. Ugh. and Jacob stole away unawares to Laban the Syrian, in that he told him not that he fled. So he fled with all that he had, and he rose up and passed over the river and set his face toward the Mount Gilead. And it was told Laban on the third day that Jacob was fled. And he took his brethren with him and pursued after him 7 days' journey, and they overtook him in the Mount Gilead. And it came to Laban the Syrian in a dream by night, and said unto him, take heed that you speak not to Jacob either good or bad. And as we look at this, we realize, God, you're the protector of our heads. God is a refuge and strength for us, a very present help in trouble. God is going to be the one that protects us and keeps us. And as he fled, he appears to an ungodly man who has no relationship with him. But isn't it amazing that God can speak to unbelievers as well as believers, and that they know who it is? Because God has put eternity in every single person's heart. They know that there's a God. The world is not that ignorant that they don't know that there's a God. They know there's a God because God has put his eternity into their hearts. They know that he's real. He said, even by my creation, they're going to know that there's a God, that there's a creator, one who's made all these things. The world knows. They just don't want to have it. They just don't want to acknowledge it. They can't say there isn't. And if they do, they're a liar. But isn't the world full of lies because their father is the devil, who's the father of all lies? So he becomes, for Jacob, he becomes for you and I, not only our protector, but also our kinsman redeemer. We see that in the book of Ruth, especially with Boaz, right? When he comes to redeem her and to pay the price for her and to minister to her and to take her as a bride, a Gentile bride. Sound like somebody we know? Like Jesus, who came to get a Gentile bride, the church, those of us that are believers in who he is and what he's done. He becomes our kinsman, redeemer, our protector, all of those things God becomes for us. And if he wants and desires to be all of that for you and I, don't you think he can take care of the needs that we have right now? And this world has a lot of needs. Our hearts have a lot of needs. Every day we wake up and we realize, Lord, I need you, because I just blew it already before I even got out of bed. My heart just went away from you. It rebelled against you. It groaned because of the condition of my heart. And Lord, I see that I have a need for you. Lord, please come and minister to me and help me. So Laban overtakes Jacob in verse 25. Now Jacob had pitched his tent in the mountain. Laban with his brethren pitched in the Mount of Gilead. And Laban said unto Jacob, what have you done that you have stolen away unawares to me and carried away my daughters as captives, taken with a sword? Isn't it amazing that when we're conniving, we use any kind of language we can to get away with it? They weren't taken captive to go away. They wanted to go. But Laban sees it differently because he doesn't have eyes of faith. He has eyes that only see what the world wants to see. That's why Christians are different, because we have eyes that see spiritual things and not just physical things. We don't have to argue on a physical plane. We argue on a spiritual plane. It's a different life for you and I. It's a different way, and they have no understanding of that. All they can do is argue on a sense of what they can see and what they can understand because of what they see. Because we have spiritual vision, we have a completely different outlook on things. And boy, it just encourages us to just keep walking, because that hope that he gives us that it's going to get better doesn't come from our government. It comes from him, because he told us so. His word says, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. It's only the word of God that we hang on to. It's only the word of God that we look into. And it's only the word of God that speaks to us to change us and to encourage us and strengthen us for the days that are ahead. Jacob lying through and just conniving again, just trying to have that conniving bring a result that he wants to see. In verse 27, he said, wherefore did you flee away secretly and steal away from me? Really, he's talking about the idols now. And you did not tell me that I might have sent thee away with mirth and with songs and with tabret and with harp. He was never going to do that. That wasn't in his plan. But he said, you stole it from me. He's just trying to make himself look better and feel better and have the world agree with him. And don't we do that in the flesh, in our arguments, when we start arguing? Yeah, but you did this to me. Yeah, but you did this to me. Yeah, but you did this. We're always back and forth. Instead of seeing what God wants us to see, we see what we want to see. I'm the one that got hurt, not you. What are you arguing with me for? I'm the one that's hurt. And we just put ourselves in the forefront. But as Christians, we're not in the forefront. We're always in the back, and everybody else is in the forefront. Lord, give us those eyes. Give us that heart. And you have not suffered me to kiss my sons and my daughters. Thou hast done now foolishly in so doing. It is in the power of my hand to do you hurt. Wait a second. He's a grandfather, and he looks at his son-in-law and says, I can hurt you. Sounds like a grandfather you want to know, doesn't it? Oh, I think I'm not going to Grandpa's house this summer because he's going to hurt me. I really don't want to be with him. It's in the power of my hand to do you hurt, but the God of your father spoke unto me yesterday night, saying, take thou heed that thou speak not to Jacob either good or bad. The only reason I'm not doing it is because of God. And folks, that is such an important truth, because the world can't do anything to us that God has not allowed. And we need to trust that. We don't trust the government. We don't trust the power of their might. We trust our God, in whom we has all power. Some trust in horses. Some trust in chariots. We'll trust in the name of our God. Amen. Keep going. And now, though you would needs be gone, because thou sore longest for thy father's house, yet wherefore has thou stolen my gods? Folks, if you have a God that can be stolen, you don't have the right God. You got the wrong God. If you've got a God that you have to carry around, that has ears that can't hear and arms that can't hold and eyes that can't see, you've got the wrong God. You're holding on to something that isn't really God, and he's never going to answer you the way that you want. Because not only does God change our heart, but he changes our direction. He changes our values. He changes the purposes of our life. He changes the direction that we're going. He changes our destination. You are now bound for 777 Trinity Lane in heaven. And the zip code is 333333. Is that enough threes? I don't know. Whatever the zip codes are, that's enough threes. That's where we're going. We no longer have that place here anymore. We're going home to heaven. And he said, why have you done this? Why have you stolen my gods? And Jacob answered and said to Laban, because I was afraid, for I said, peradventure you will take by force your daughters from me. So Jacob still had a little fear going on. He wasn't trusting God, was he? Because what did God say to him? Go ahead and go, and I'll be with you. And what does he tell Laban? I was afraid. He had some fear going on. He wasn't perfect, but it was coming. Because he was going to see that God takes care of him. God takes care of those whom know his love. God will take care of us. With whomsoever you findest thy gods, let him not live. Uh-oh. Evidently, Rachel never told him, by the way, I got daddy's gods in my pocket. So, oh boy. Let him not live. Before our brethren discern what is thine with me, and take it to thee. For Jacob knew not that Rachel had stolen them. And look at what the Lord says about this. She stole them. It was out and out stealing. Oh. And you know the most awful thing? She didn't have to, because God was right there with her. We don't have to steal God. We get to go with him. It's a privilege of a Christian to walk with our God. We don't have to steal him. We don't have to lie and cheat and move things around so that we can walk with him. He desires that, as a good father does with his kids. And that's what he wants for you and I, to walk with him in truth. We don't have to steal things from him. He'll give us everything that we need. Oh, so sweet. She hadn't told him. Oh, boy. And so Laban went into Jacob's tent. Look at the first tent he goes into, Jacob's. And then he goes into Leah's tent. And into the two maidservants' tents. Who's the favorite of the family? Rachel, because she's the last tent. tent that he goes into. My little baby, my little one. She wouldn't do that to me. But he has to check because he couldn't find him anywhere else. Then he went out of Leah's tent and entered into Rachel's tent. Now Rachel had taken the images and put them in the camel's furniture and sat upon them. And Laban searched all the tent but found them not. And she said to her father, "Let it not displease the Lord that I cannot rise up before thee, for the custom of women is upon me." And he searched, but he found not the images. Who's doing the protecting here? God. Even though they're images, he's protecting Rachel in the midst of it. Was it right for her to do? No. Was it right for her to lie? No. Is he still taking care of her? Yes. And Jacob was wroth. Once he found out that nobody had taken the images that he could tell anyway, he's getting upset now. Righteous indignation, we call it as Christians, right? I have a right to yell at you. No, we don't. Jacob's going to learn, and he's going to see, just like you and I do. We go through these things, and we realize I probably shouldn't have done that. Probably would have been better because a soft answer turns away wrath, not loud, angry words. A soft answer. God has to teach us all these things because the natural man just doesn't know these things. We think that yelling gets things done. And the one that yells the loudest gets the most attention and gets things taken care of. Right? Wrong. Because if God is involved, everything is taken care of. So Jacob was wroth and chode with Laban, and Jacob answered and said unto Laban, "What is my trespass and what is my sin that thou hast so hotly pursued after me? Whereas thou hast searched all my stuff, what hast thou found of all thy household stuff? Set it here before my brethren and thy brethren, that they may judge between us both. This 20 years have I been with thee. Your ewes and your she-goats have not cast their young, and the rams of thy flock have I not eaten. That which was torn of the beast I besought not unto thee. I bear the loss of it. Of my hand didst thou require it, whether stolen by day or stolen by night. Thus I was in the day the drought consumed me, and the frost by night, and my sleep departed from mine eyes." As he rehearses the last 20 years of being out in the fields, just going through all of that stuff. "This is all that I've done for you." He didn't have to say any of this. But in the flesh we do, don't we? "I put up with you all these years. I've done this and I've done that. Oh, poor me, alas." Oh. And we just go through. What are we looking for? We're looking for compassion. We're looking to be right. There's only one that's right, and it's God. He didn't have to go through any of this. He got agita. His heart started beating faster. He started perspiring because of all the stuff that was. You see those preachers on TV, they're talking so hard and so fast and yelling so loud, they got to have a handkerchief just so they can dab their forehead because, boy, the sweat's coming. I must really be doing good now that the sweat is coming. And it doesn't have to because his words are easy to be entreated. And we just look to him. These are things we have to learn, though, aren't we? We can put our names in there, couldn't we? Because we do the same things. "All these years I've put up with you. All these years I've done all this stuff. And look at what you've done to me. You called me a wimp. Oh, alas." I'll embarrass my wife. Well, I'll embarrass me too. But she did it to me last night. Sitting there and she grabs my arm. And she goes, "You've got no arm." You know, it's, "Yeah, I got an arm." Where'd it go? I think some gravity took over and took it somewhere. But what was the first thing that rose up? I still got arms. I can still do stuff. I didn't have to do any of that. But that's where our hearts go, isn't it? We're constantly learning. God, I didn't have to go there. Because what does it do? It just breeds anger. It breeds arguments. It breeds all that stuff. We don't have to go there. But it's a continual process, isn't it? Because we're always going through it. Why are you driving like that? Because I want to. Do we even have to go there? No. But we do because the heart needs to be changed and the Lord is just revealing those things so that we can change. Lord, help me in the midst of it. Day and night, frost by night, sleep departing from my eyes. these 20 years, verse 41, in your house, I've served you 14 years for your two daughters and 6 years for your cattle, and you have changed my wages 10 times. And except the God of my fathers, the God of Abraham, and the fear of Isaac had been with me, surely you had sent me away now empty. God has seen my affliction and the labor of my hands and rebuked you yesternight. As he came to you in a dream, he rebuked you. And Laban answered and said unto Jacob, these daughters are my daughters, and these children are my children, and these cattle are my cattle, and all that thou seest is mine. What can I do this day unto these my daughters or unto their children which you have borne? Do you get a picture of what's going to come? Because as you look at this, doesn't it remind you of what's going to happen with Israel when they're in Egypt and with Pharaoh? What does Pharaoh say? Your daughters are mine. Your kids are mine. Your cattle are mine. It says, you have nothing but what I've given him. As he looks at Moses, as Moses comes up and says, God wants us to go. And what does Pharaoh say? You can go, but your wives can't go. Isn't that what Laban's saying? I want the daughters. I want the kids. I want the cattle. Just what Pharaoh would say. Just a picture of what's going to come to pass. And yet God wants it all, doesn't he? Because what's his, he wants. And one day he's going to redeem everything that's his. That's why it's so important for us to be born again of God's Spirit. Not just to know about church, but to know Jesus personally. To have a living, true relationship with Jesus Christ. Because if you don't have that, you don't have a real relationship with him and you're not his. That's why it's so important to be born again. I sent that scripture out to some of my kids this morning. Just, you need to be born again, because they're not all born again. And the Lord just impressing upon me that the time is short. The need is so much. They need to know who I am, because they can't come just because you're praying. They need to come because they know me. I can't carry my kids to heaven. They have to have a relationship with him. He has to be their Father and their Savior and their God. Lord, quicken our families, huh? Ugh. These are all mine. Now therefore, verse 44, come thou, let us make a covenant, I and thou, and let it be a witness between me and thee. And Jacob took a stone and set it up for a pillar. Remind you of when he was in Bethel, he took a stone, set it up for a pillar, and anointed it. Here he goes again. He's back almost to the same place. And Jacob said to his brethren, gather stones. And they took stones, and they made a heap, and they did eat there upon the heap. That must have been a great lunch. And Laban called it Jagar Sa-Ad-Yutha. Yeah, that name. And Jacob called it Galeed. That's a lot easier. And Laban said, this is a heap of witness between me and thee this day. Therefore, the name of it was called Galeed and Mizpah, or watchtower, a watching place. For he said, the Lord watch between me and thee, when we are absent one from another. If you shall afflict my daughters, or if you shall take other wives besides my daughters, so no man is with us. See, God is witness between me and thee. And Laban said unto Jacob, behold this heap, and behold this pillar, which I have cast betwixt me and thee. This heap be a witness, and this pillar be a witness, that I will not pass over this heap to thee, and you shall not pass over this heap and this pillar unto me for harm. Do you see what's going on? God is in the background working. And do you see what he's doing for Jacob? Jacob, you can't go back. Remember where he's going? He's going back home. But who's back home? Esau. Esau hates him. He wants to kill him. What is God doing? He's setting up boundaries so he can't go back. He has to go forward. And sometimes with you and I, we want what God wants, but then we just can't get the momentum to go where he wants us to go. We can't get over the hurt that's happened in our life. We can't get over the hurt in our heart. We hold on to bitterness. We hold on to anger. And God wants to set up boundaries so that we can't go back to them for our good, not to hurt us, but for our good. And sometimes we're so old, we don't want to move anymore. I don't want to do anything new. I just want it to be the same. And he says, no, every day is different. And I've got something for you new every day. You guys are on an adventure. And whether you're walking with a cane or you're walking with a walker or you're not walking at all, God can move you, and God can get you to where he wants you to go. Trust him. Don't trust what you see or what you have. Trust the one that is telling you he wants you to do something. Trust him. And he's putting boundaries back there so he can't go back. Well, if I go over this heap, Laban's going to kill me. I only have one direction I can go, and that's forward. And sometimes God will do that with us so that there's only one direction we can go, so that we get the very best in our life. Because if Jacob never went back, Israel would never be. Because what does he change Jacob's name to? Israel. From dirty, sneaky thief to governed by God. Jacob, this is what you used to be, but this is what I'm going to make you to be. And he's changing our names too. From unfaithful to faithful. From unloving to loving. From uncaring to caring. From holding grudges to releasing those grudges. From holding on to bitterness to letting go of that bitterness. And we've got a lot of junk that we carry around. We probably got 50 pounds of junk we're carrying around all the time. And God just wants to take it off our back, because he's the one that carries our burdens. He just wants to release us from all that junk that the world has built into us all these years. So in verse 53 it says, "The God of Abraham and the God of Nahor, the God of the father, judge between us." And Jacob sware by the fear of his father Isaac. Then Jacob offered sacrifice upon the mount. And in the last 20 years, we had not seen him offer anything upon an altar to the Lord. And all of a sudden, he's realizing God is talking to me. He's confirming it to me. He's giving me his word. I'm going to offer a sacrifice to him. And he offers something of himself to the Lord for the first time in 20 years. And maybe it's been a long time since you've given God any time in your life. Just offer it up to him now and just let him minister to your heart. He wants to take care of you. And you think, well, you're not taking care of me. You're bringing me to a brother who hates me. I said, yeah, but I'm going to take care of that too. I'm going to intervene with your brother and you're going to be okay. Trust me. Lord, can I trust you? Isn't that where the church is today? Lord, can I trust you? Can I trust you to bring me to heaven? Can I trust you that you're still going to rapture the church out of here? Because a lot of us think, Lord, you should have come 50 years ago. And yet we're still waiting. But you know what? His word is still faithful. He's the God of the word, and we trust him. Then Jacob offered sacrifice upon the mount and called his brethren to eat bread. What are they doing? They're taking communion, just like we're going to take in a minute here. They're taking communion together, remembering who God is and what he's done. And that's why we do it, to remember who he is and what he's done. And they tarried all night in the mount, and early in the morning Laban rose up and kissed his sons and his daughters and blessed them, and Laban departed and returned to his place. God took care of Jacob. But isn't it amazing? There's one thing that's not listed in there, and sometimes it's the things that we don't see that should get us. Who didn't Laban kiss goodbye? Jacob. I'll kiss my daughters, I'll kiss the kids, I'll kiss the grandkids. You get away from me. Laban's heart is not going to change, but Jacob's heart is. It's already starting to change. He's already offering communion. He's already in a place where he wants that communion to be. That is so sweet as we see that. We're going to take communion now and remember what God has done for us. And if you've got something in your heart, if you're just stuck in a place where you just don't want to move anymore, where God is speaking to you and just wants you to change, bringing things to your remembrance of the way things were, of the things that are still in your heart, just allow him to take them today. Steve and Tom are going to bring communion to us. So let's just prepare our hearts and just be in that place where we just sit before him and just allow him to do that work in our lives that he wants to do. God, we just come to you today. We're so thankful that we can have this time, that we can remember what you've done for us, that we can remember that you're always good. You always do good. And Lord, help us not to forget those things. We've had hurts from the past and we blame them on you. But Lord, much of it has probably been just because we've worked in our own ways rather than waiting for your ways, and we haven't trusted you. So Lord, forgive us and help us to just be before you today, to remember and to confess those things and to allow you to change us, Lord. You've got a great plan for us. Father, may we walk in it. May we love what you're doing for us And may we trust you in the midst of it. And we just ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, we come this morning. You know our hearts, Lord. You know the things that have distracted us, have taken us away from walking with you, away from being in that place of hearing your word, away from walking by faith and walking by sight, Lord. We just thank you that there's forgiveness with you. We thank you, Lord, that there's hope from you for us, Lord. We look at the bread and realize your body was broken, your skin was beaten and poked and prodded, pushed. Your blood was poured out for us for the forgiveness of sin. We just remember these things, Lord, and we give you thanks that you did all of that for us. What a price you paid. What a cost our sin has cost you. We come now realizing more and more that we need more of you and less of us. So, Father, help us in that. Direct us and lead us, and we give you thanks for it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's partake.